Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
That's a great day for a constructive and compassionate conversation. Music with Eric, we share some great music too, as we weave together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? I know. Another tough week, smack dab in the middle of contention and chaos. We'll take it all in. Most of our spirits and some great music, too. And you in the mix. Are you listening live? You asked for more weekday shows. You got it. It is Wednesday, June 17th, 2 p.m. out west, 4 o'clock central, 5 o'clock here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter still 24/7, live run podcast. Jump in when it works for you at AB Riots. And if you're taking along for the live ride, more and more folks are doing it, and boy, do I love it. Facebook page, pop, and a chat box are also available, so have at us the way that works for you. All being handled by the talented TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML headquarters. Show brought to you in part by Audiophile, music, books, podcasts. Go ahead, caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. Also by State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And by our pals at PopNet. Arts, culture, conversation, on air, online, up and running 24/7. And yeah, they do feature select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show and those robust roundtables. Went a couple of rounds this week. The difference between the roundtables and this show, besides the lively cadre of co-hosts that we have, not a lot of music on the roundtables. We know different. We know that music can bolster our spirits and soothe our soul at the same time. So let's give ourselves an infusion of power as we kick things open on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Happy to have you aboard.
Mama, some life that you sigh. Run for your life. Tonight the riot began. In back streets of America, they killed the dream of America. Little black gets assaulted. Ain't no reason why. News for the prince's story. Racist tempers fight. Next day starts a riot. Knives and guns are drawn. Two black boys get killed. One white boy goes blind. Across the line, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separate white from black? Run for your life. Tonight the riot began. Back streets of America, they killed the dream of America. Little black gets assaulted. No one know her name. Lots of people hurt and angry. She's the one to blame. Across the line, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separate white from black? Choose sides. Run for your life. Begin. Back streets of America, they killed the dream of America.
Before Donald Trump comes to Tulsa, remember what real leaders sound like.
Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice.
Too often we honor swagger and bluster and the wielders of force. Too often we excuse those who are willing to build their own lives on the shattered dreams of other human beings.
How those who divide speak.
And I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
I agree that looters ought to be shot, yes.
On sight?
On sight. The Negro and white citizen of this state are against the breakdown of law and order.
You have to dominate the streets. Please don't be too nice. Very fine people on both sides.
When you hear leaders speak, you know who they are, who they represent, and what kind of America they'll create. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
the band played on.
Confusion. The Temptations for Eric on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show and Not So Forgotten 45. Thanks for chiming in via the PopNet chat box. Also, we heard from the Lincoln Project putting Tulsa, the upcoming rally that Trump is having, in perspective of what real leaders sound like and what rogue leadership is like. And you know the difference, and you know who we have in the White House for sure. Tracy Chapman's Poignant Across the Lines and the great Patti Smith with People Have the Power. See what I mean about music? It bolsters us up and gets us raring to go for the fight ahead, indeed. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Happy to have you aboard. Weigh in at Twitter, AB Writes, joining us for the live broadcast on Wednesday, June 17th. You can join us with the two tin cans and a string. So few folks do, but we love it when you call in, 347-857-4505. Facebook page, pop in the chat box, too. Have at us the way that works best for you. We're digitally motivated. We know. We're there. Some breaking news we got right before the show went on. There has been an announcement of charges in that tragic police shooting in Atlanta this past weekend. Rayshard Brooks shot dead in the back, two shots, by police after he was just sleeping off a drunk in the Wendy's parking lot. Things seemed to go well, and then, you know, he did break away. He made a mistake, for sure, but the police, after they patted him down and knew that he had no weapons, and he stole their taser, instead of using another taser or just waiting and giving him a ticket or tracking him down, you know, they had his name and number, and they had his car in the parking lot. It was just all tragic. But it seems to be even worse than we saw on the videotape, because the man who's been charged, former Officer Rolf, was charged today with felony murder by the DA down there. His partner, Brosnan, charged with aggravated assault. He apparently is helping the state as a witness, and he said that after he was down, after being shot, they stood on his shoulder. I mean, this is very gruesome. So you talk about police brutality, you talk about systemic racism and all of that, and you have to wonder, are things really going to change? And certainly at the federal level, we don't know. Statewide, some states are making changes. New York has made some bold moves already. But it's case by case, state by state, city by city, and of course it relies upon the culture. It's not just whether the laws are there, it's who follows them and how it goes. Certainly Donald Trump yesterday made a big brouhaha in the Rose Garden as usual with the ceremony to sign an executive order, which basically did nothing except suggest there should be a database of police officers and their misconduct so people could follow up on that. And that makes, there's some sense to that, but again, it's more of a suggestion rather than mandatory. And he did sort of say he'd like to see the chokeholds be abolished, except if the officers think their lives are at risk. Well, that big exception is something which a lot of officers will certainly find themselves in, because we have a cultural issue here. We do. Well, we do. That doesn't mean, and again, let's take it down a couple of notches for folks who are pro-police. I'm pro-police. My interactions with the police have been limited, and they've always been positive. But I am a fairly affluent white woman, so grew up in suburbia. So I understand that my situation and my experiences are very different than black people's experiences. They just are, and we have to acknowledge that. That doesn't mean that people aren't in it for the right reasons by and large, but it's more than just a few bad apples, as the GOP and Trump in particular like to say. He said there's a tiny, tiny number that are bad. It's more than that. There's something in the culture. There's something in predispositions to things, and it's hardwired maybe in all people, not just white people too. I mean, black officers sometimes don't react properly either, where black people are given the presumption of suspicion versus the presumption of citizenship that most white people are afforded. It is just that true. And the GOP, they were quick to make their comments, and they're coming along. They're making some, you know, movement toward progress, which is a good thing. I'm not poo-pooing that. But their comments yesterday during a hearing, they all came out scathing comments about the George Floyd murder and how horrible it was. But then when they questioned people, and they had Vinita Gupta, who was the former head of the I believe Civil Rights Division in the DOJ, talking about racism, and Cornyn in particular from Texas says, so are you saying that there is systemic racism? And she said, yes, I am. And he said, do you think most people are prejudiced? And she said, well, yeah, I think everybody has some biases. His reaction to that was, oh, wow. Like, are you kidding me? I don't want to hear it. You know, Trump always says, and all the Trump toadies are out on the shows with the party line, there's no systemic racism, racism exists, Barr said, but it's not systemic, all of that kind of nonsense. Because the party line is easier to digest. Because if you say it's not systemic, then you can just say it's a few bad apples, it's a couple of people, it's not really our problem, and it'll go away. As Trump said last week, it'll be handled very quickly, very easily, it'll go away very easily. Just like you said about the pandemic. We are now at 115,000 plus people that are dead, still raging, and by the way, he's going to Tulsa, more on that later, for this rally on Saturday, even though it's against all medical expert advice, because Tulsa happens to be a current hotspot for COVID. So you talk about irresponsibility, you talk about audacity, you talk about trying to wish stuff away. It's just mind-boggling. That's my take. What's yours? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PubNet chat box. Please have at us whatever way that works for you. No Guarantees on Twitter says, I find it hilarious that whenever issues about race come up, the GOP ushers Tim Scott out in front of the cameras to be the face of the party. They ignore him every other time. Tim Scott, of course, came out with a long-winded review of pretty much saying nothing that the GOP was going to do in their toothless legislation that, of course, takes off everything, knocks all the socks out of the Democratic platform package, which had a lot more banning chokeholds, things that you think would be pro forma. I don't understand. They do agree that it should be database and maybe hold some accountability, but they're reserving the right about it in terms of suing and that sort of thing and criminal charges and now, again, it's making it kind of shallow or hollow, and it's not necessarily going to fly, if you know what I'm saying. What else do we have here? KJ says, domestic terrorists have taken over the White House, run by a radical, incompetent, arrogant, idiot, arrogant, racist, and narcissistic small man, of course. Law and order? Trump out, 2020. Yeah, I do think it's funny that he calls himself your president of law and order. He has got to be the biggest criminal we ever had in the White House. And the stuff he's tried to pull, and he's allowed to be pulled in his name by his toadies, et cetera, is outrageous. The latest of which is this thing with Mnuchin and Trump. They're covering up the names of the recipients of the federal people that got their federal loans, the forgivable loans that are basically grants. Why are you hiding it? I mean, what's the point of hiding it if, in fact, there's nothing to hide? This goes back to the taxes, the health records, everything else. If there's nothing to hide, put it out there. And if you don't want to put it out there, then for goodness sakes, get out of public life. It's just incredible and ridiculous, if you ask me. PopNet chat box, Dom chiming in. Glad to hear you live during the week. The situation with Trump has escalated to the point of no return. I predict a Biden landslide. I hate it when folks do that, Dom. Thank you. I appreciate you're here. I know you're hardly a regular, and I love it. But these landslide predictions, I don't know. The polls are sketchy at best. I know Biden is leading in most of them now. Last week I thought was hilarious when Trump actually sent a cease and desist letter, had his lawyer do so, to CNN because they published a poll, or they put forth a poll, I should say, that had Biden leading nationally by 14 points. A couple of other polls had him leading by 7, 8 points. Another poll just came out, he's also leading by 14 or 15 points. Again, they're national polls, which don't mean a lot, as we know. But besides that, who the heck has the right to have a cease and desist in a poll? I mean, the poll is not fake news. It's just a poll. They had a woman on the Reliable Sources show on Sunday with Brian Seltzer, who said that it was fake news and junk science that created the poll. Now, my point is I have a problem with polls in general because I'm not sure exactly how they do it, who they poll, and it is a snapshot in time. Plus, my problem with the Trump thing is there are a lot of people who are embarrassed to support him. They were back in 2016. They're even more so now. So I'm wondering if he's really going to have a higher approval or a higher percentage of people that will vote for him than are actually admitting it. And that's scary, which is why I say people have to mobilize behind Biden, even if you're not crazy about Biden. We talked about the enthusiasm gap in the polls, that although Trump's ratings, his approval ratings in general, have dipped to between 35 and 38%, the lowest they've been, people who like him still like him to the point of 67%, whereas Biden's approval is higher, but the enthusiasm for voters are 34%. So if you're not excited about Joe Biden, and maybe, hopefully, he'll pick a good running mate that will help energize, but even if you're not, be excited that you want the Biden, that's one of the hashtags, you want to get rid of Donald Trump. So let's work on that. Whichever way your enthusiasm comes, work on that, but stay vigilant, and let's not take anything for granted. Because as somebody pointed out earlier this week, as low as his ratings are, and as bad a job as he's done in handling the pandemic, in the racial strife that's going on, this whole militarization business, everything you can think about, he's done all wrong. His approval rating, though low, averages out to be, even though it's dipped in the last couple of weeks, but averages out to about 43%, which is lower than both Obama and Clinton when they ran for re-election. But don't say few, because it's higher, believe it or not, than both Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush when they ran for re-election and lost. And I'm saying to myself, okay, these guys were flawed leaders. Bush had a bad economy on his hands all of a sudden. He had the read my lips, no new taxes thing to deal with. Okay. Jimmy Carter was embroiled in the hostage issue and a bad economy. Okay. But neither of those guys were criminals. Neither of them were monsters. Neither of them had been impeached. This guy has been impeached. I call him the impeached occupant. Why are people forgetting? The media forgets to mention he's already been impeached, let alone he should be impeached to the max for what he's about to do, which is hold this big rally on Saturday indoors with overflow for another stadium of even more people indoors. How many people are going to be – this could be a super spreader event. He knows it. He's having people sign waivers, and he's still going forward. What the heck is wrong with this guy? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box. We can only hope the times they are changing, and there will be a changing of the guard. Here's a great version of that classic from Nina Simone.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters above you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you'd better stop swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they're a-changin'. mothers and fathers throughout the land. And don't criticize what you can't understand, for your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. The old road is rapidly fading. Please get out of the way now. If you can't, then a hand. All the times they are changing. They're
Do it, 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 do it never adjusted to the great big world. I see them lurking in bookstores, working for the public radio. Can the babies around stack on their back, moving careful and slow? Money doesn't matter. Hear what I say.
Songs for Donald Trump, Steve Mnuchin, and everyone trying to hide just exactly who's got the money when it comes to those federally forgivable loans that have been doled out. Apparently a couple of congressmen and or their families were implicated. And Larry Kudlow, the senior financial advisor, hey, he bragged about it. His wife got one of those loans. She's in sort of an artist. So they're craven, they're cynical, they're flaunting it because it doesn't really matter. They get away with it, that's sure, at least for now. Nina Simone infusing her great soulful signature into that great Bob Dylan classic, Times They Are Changing. Let's hope that's true, and let's hope the regime changes from this rogue presidency come January 2021. Otherwise, welcome to Trumplandia, where nothing will matter except what the power brokers think. We'll see if these tell-all books will put a chink in Teflon Donnie's armor. I doubt it. Per, John Bolton, of course, who everybody is all up in arms because he could have come out during the impeachment hearings and testified. A lot of stuff to blurt out in his book, In the Room Where It Happened, where he talks about the corruption, basically, that, it's pretty much confirmation. There's nothing really new there. But it's worse than just asking the Ukraine. He wanted to wrangle stuff from the Chinese so that the farm states would vote for Trump for re-election, all kinds of stuff that's in there. And how galling it is to Bolton that Trump is dumber than he even imagined. He doesn't know where Finland is located. He doesn't know a lot of things. Well, surprise, surprise, as they say. You vote a reality TV con man in as president, this is what you get. For sure. Another tell-all book from Trump's niece, Mary, who is a psychologist. She's the daughter of his brother who passed away, Fred, the older brother. And a scathing commentary. She was screwed out of a lot of her inheritance, apparently, her side of the family was. And also, she admits that she was the one who gave a lot of information to the New York Times last year. It was a big story for about 6 hours that the Trump family criminality goes back decades. They've been cheating on taxes forever. A big expose, but nothing really came of it. And also, by the way, Trump always says he only got $1 million loan, a small $1 million loan, when we all love that, from his dad. It turns out it was more like $431 million. Ouch. And he managed to squander most of it. Get bailed out time after time. Incredible. But I don't know that these books are going to mean anything, because they never do. There's a new book about Melania, too, that's a biography, unauthorized, I guess, about her experience and the fact that she tried to renegotiate, or she did renegotiate her prenup before she agreed to go move to the White House to make sure that Barron got the exact same amount of money as the three kids from the first marriage. Goodness knows what kind of a fuzzy end of the lollipop poor Tiffany got, or will get. But it's intriguing. She doesn't interest me that much either. People say, oh, she's a lot more complicated than you'd think. You know, I don't care, do you? To quote her infamous quote about 2 years ago. She's on the train with Trump. I mean, I know that she didn't expect this situation to be her life, but she went along with it. And she also went along with the birther and other kinds of things that Trump's conspiracy. So I'm not so sorry for her, if you know what I mean. Your feelings about anything and everything, Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PodNet chat box open. The Tulsa party is still coming on, despite all the medical experts saying, hey, please don't come, including folks in Tulsa, because Tulsa's become a COVID hotspot, and they think it's not such a great idea. He's coming. He's having folks sign waivers, but he's coming. Rob on Twitter says, feeling Americans are devastated by the heartbreaking loss of life from the dual viruses of racism and corona, our president, a sociopath, doesn't care. He's even okay if his cult followers in Tulsa die. November 3rd can't come soon enough. I hear you, I feel you, and I agree. It's time. We've got to go. And at least he could do. You know, it's not good for him either, because people have said, you know, he didn't look so good at West Point. He was shaky. He was unbalanced when he was walking down that ramp, and he couldn't hold a glass of water. They think there's some kind of neurological problems going on. So it might not be good for him to be in with a whole crowd of folks either. But at least he could do is pick up the right kind of germs. Like maybe if he caught the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu, he'd become a hipper cat. Play in. I'm Katie Bickler.
Something's wrong with Donald Trump. He's shaky, weak, trouble speaking, trouble walking. So why aren't we talking about this? And why isn't the press covering Trump's secretive midnight run to Walter Reed Medical Center? Why do so many reporters who cover the White House pretend they can't see Trump's decline? The most powerful office in the world needs more than a weak, unfit, shaky president. Trump doesn't have the strength to lead, nor the character to admit it. We're not doctors, but we're not blind. It's time we talk about this. Trump is not well.
I need toilet paper, toilet paper, toilet paper. I'm out of toilet paper. It's my corona. I need toilet paper, toilet paper, toilet paper. I'm out of toilet paper. It's my corona.
Got to make a grocery run. Well, that sounds fun. Why am I out here risking my life? Corona, where's a goddamn parking space? Shit, I touched my face. Wait, I think I finally caught my corona. Stop it, don't be manic. Go inside.
No organic?
Oh no, all GMO. Jesus Christ, now I panic. I'll die. My corona.
I'm out
of toilet paper. It's my corona. Don't come any closer, huh? I'll mess you up. I'm just coming in for some white corona. Kroger's full of empty shelves.
Ah, what the hell?
Yes, I'm stocking up on box white corona. Nothing's making sense. No more friends. No more basketball kids. Our homework school is raining too. And I'm losing my my corona. My corona.
I need toilet paper, toilet paper, toilet paper. I'm out of toilet paper, it's my corona.
Toilet paper. When you gonna get to me, get to me? Is it just a matter of time, corona? Will I kill my family in quarantine?
Yep.
Or is it just a game in my mind, corona? Then there's Donald Trump.
What the fuck?
Why are you shaking hands and keep telling us nothing's up, that we're gonna be fine?
What?
My corona. My corona. So sick of my corona. My corona.
Stronger than dirt. Stronger than dirt. New Ajax laundry detergent is stronger than dirt. Stronger than dirt. New Ajax laundry detergent is stronger than dirt.
Yeah, we need a little something to be stronger than dirt. The Ajax commercial on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. My Corona, Chris Mann's great send-up to the old Mac tune, My Sharona. And the Lincoln Project, having fun with Trump's ills, Trump is not well, and Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu from Johnny Rivers. I want to give a nod to Dondi and to Chris via the Twitter and Twitter feed and the PopNet chat box, respectively. Thank you guys for chiming in and tagging along for our live Wednesday, June 17th ride. It's not fun to make fun of someone, that's for sure, but the thing is, it's projection, deflection, in reverse, because Trump does it to so many other people. Remember in 2016, Hillary Clinton was on death's door. Joe Biden is sleepy Joe Biden. Everybody's got something wrong, a malady, something to be made fun of. But gosh forbid you make fun of him, and all heck breaks loose, if you know what I mean. Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505. Facebook page, PopNet chat box open too. On Facebook, Leslie says about the Trump folks going to the rally. Says, if only they couldn't transmit it to others. Yeah, that's the problem, Leslie, because they're coming from far and wide, and they'll go back to where they came from, and goodness knows how many germs they'll be taking with them. It could be a super, potentially, might not, but it could be potentially a super spreader event, and I think it's irresponsible. In fact, I think this should be an impeachable offense just in the face of it. He knows it's putting people in danger, and he's like a petulant baby. He just turned 74 on Sunday. He's like a massive five-year-old trapped in that body where he has no impulse control. His attitude is, well, if they can have a protest out in the streets and I don't complain about the rallies, and that's what some of the people in the GOP are saying as well, and commentators. But the thing is, first of all, I don't think those protests was a hot idea either. But they were outside, and all the experts say being outside is better than being inside, and most of them were wearing masks. Not all of them, but most of them were. He's adverse to mask wearing, so mask optional. He's not going to certainly wear one. They're going to be spewing all kinds of things and chanting "lock her up," etc., all the greatest hits. So all that stuff in the air, all the germs, the respiratory stuff is going to be flying around at a rate that is much greater than if it was outside. So why can't he at least do it outside? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is irresponsible. He could do it virtually. He could do it outside, which would still not be great, but mitigated at least. This way he's not. He's being stubborn. He's sticking to it. Of course, maybe we still have a few days. Maybe they'll make some changes within the next couple of days. Who the heck knows? Because originally it was slated for Juneteenth, which is Friday, and everybody was offended by that. Tulsa itself is offensive because they had that horrible mass killing, race killing, race-related killing back in 1921. So it's not such a great idea to go there to begin with, but the 20th is better than the 19th. Outside would be better than inside, and he's not even compromising on that level. It's just mind-boggling to me. Also on Facebook, George chiming in about the tell-all book that the niece Mary Trump has written. And he says, one can only hope that it helps bring some of his warts to the surface. Well, I guess, except the only problem is his warts are on display. They haven't been lanced off, and nobody cares in his Trumpian base. It's just amazing to me. And as I said, I'm hoping the base is really smaller than we think and smaller than our side. And our side gets to vote, push for the mail-in voting, make sure everybody's registered, push for that. And as I said, if you're not excited about Biden, be excited to vote against Trump. Because Biden, you can work on it. You can save the soul of this country and work on making progress. Maybe not as fast as you think, but you'll work on it. With Trump, it's going the other direction, the wrong direction. So let's own up to that and let's work on that, please. Twitter, AB Rides, phone line 347-857-4505. Something that will give you a little push in the right direction, creativity. It helps. It can't cure all our ills for sure, but it really does help. Helps ease your burden, assuage your anxieties, process through your thoughts, and explore your talents all in one. Inspiration to Action has helped a lot of folks reconnect with their inner artists, and I'm so gratified when folks chime in and tell me it's working for them. Like Sal in Richmond, Virginia, who gets a shout-out today, says, I've been doing the challenge on and off for about 2 years. Steady on the last few months. It saved me from going off the deep end during quarantine, so thank you very much. Your shows are inspirational, too. Well, thank you, Sal. Keep going, please, and please keep us posted. Inspiration Action, if it works for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out. You deserve it. You're also egging other folks on. If you need to push in the right direction, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one on me, give me a couple of weeks to connect. Either way, reach out via the website. It's Amy Beth Arkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. And while you're there, you can chime in with guest suggestions, Big Story and Forgotten 45 requests, Peruse My Stories, The Lasgren Mysteries, and other things are up for grabs. And connect with us via social media. Friend me on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. I am at AB Writes, our producer Trudy Hartz at Radio Trudy. And you can also find links to the podcast. It's one-stop shopping, minus the shoes and the groceries, at the website, amybetharkaway.com. And speaking of great artists, we lost one, of course, a couple of months ago, but his music lives on and on. Did you get a chance to see the great tribute concert called Picture Show? Including John Prine and all his great music. I'm sure you can find it on demand if you haven't seen it. You certainly can find videos and audio from John Prine for years and years to come. He got some new stuff that he had not had a chance to really officially record, and they're releasing it in dribs and drabs. This is the first one out called I Remember Everything, the late, great John Prine on the Amy Beth Arkawy Show.
All right. I've been down this road before. I remember every tree, every single blade of grass holds a special place for me. And I remember every town and every hotel room, every song I ever sang on a guitar out of tune. I remember everything, things I can't forget. The way you turned and smiled on me, on the night that we first met. And I remember every night your ocean eyes of blue. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew. I've been down this road before, alone as I can be. Careful not to let my past go sneaking up on me. Got no future in my happiness, the regrets are very few. Sometimes a little tenderness was the best that I could do. I remember everything, things I can't forget. Swimming pools of butterflies that slip right through the net. And I remember every night your ocean eyes are blue. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew.
Maybe he can make you laugh. ring St. Peter's autograph.
Unit, their new album, Reunions, that one, St. Peter's Autograph. And previously unreleased new music from the late, great John Prine, I Remember Everything. John Prine will always be a national treasure. If you haven't dug into his music, do it. You'll enjoy it. It will lift you up for sure. The A.B. Bethurky Show. Another thing to dig into, if you had a chance, if you get HBO or you can get it on demand, is the six-part series, I Know This Much Is True. It's based on the Wally Lamb novel starring Mark Ruffalo. I'm telling you, this guy's going to get an Emmy or something. Dual role as twins. What a fantastic job. He's a great actor. This is one of his better roles, I think. Good acting, too, from Melissa Leo, Rosie O'Donnell, Catherine Hahn, and others. It's a dramatic show, six-part deal. It's worth it. It's emotional, though, I'll tell you that much. So just a couple of things that you might want to do when you're kicking around looking for some diversions. We all need them, that's for sure. Not that that's empty, because it's heavy duty, but sometimes heavy duty works, too. Let's sashay around the social media horn before we get out of here today, and I appreciate everybody chiming in, because even on short notice, folks are finding our show, and I love it. I'd love to deal with you guys in real time, for sure. Where are we at? Hello? Here we go. Old Golden Girl says, hey, listen up, Mike Pence, you dummy. COVID is alive and well. Yesterday in Tucson, where it was 102 degrees, we had the largest amount of COVID cases. Tell your dumbass friend, real Donald Trump, hot weather does not make the virus disappear. Stay out of Arizona. Trump out 2020. Yeah, I hear you. Again, that wishful thinking, and he's got Pence and the other toadies on the job, although Fauci has been sidelined, and Burks. Fauci did reemerged yesterday somewhere where he let it be known that he would not go to the Tulsa rally if he had the option because it's too dangerous. A lot of medical experts are saying that, and still Trump brags about how many folks want to go. It's incredible to me. He just wants to fill that ego tank of his. Just nuts. On the PubMed chat box, Cassidy says, please, if we're going to get into the cancel culture, Donald Trump has got to go, and so does Meghan McCain. Can she get canned off The View? All she cares about is not talking about racism but buying a crib. Yeah. Well, to be fair, she's complaining like a lot of folks in quarantine that she can't get out. She's expecting a baby, and she does harp, I guess, a lot on this whole crib shopping business. But she did say today she took everybody to task because she says her party is trying. They're making a noble effort when they're taking some pot shots and calling the GOP efforts in Congress sort of a cop-out where they're not really doing anything with a lot of muscle behind it in terms of legislation, but offering up mostly lip service in terms of suggestions and incentives and refusing to mention Black Lives Matter. The only one on the Republican end who uttered those words was Mitt Romney when he was actually walking in a Black Lives Matter protest last week or the week before. So, but, you know, they're making some steps in the right direction. I guess every little bit helps, incremental though they may be. Maybe not enough, but better than nothing, I guess you could say. Does Meghan McCain rub you the wrong way? Well, she rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but then again, so does everybody. And my answer to all those things with the cancel culture rules, turn the darn dial. Do they still have dials? I guess you don't have dials anymore yet. Not that old, but I kind of remember dials. You know, flick the remote. You can change the channel. Never mind. Never mind. I'm digging myself deeper, as they say. It's where else are we going? Do we have anywhere else to go here? Lavina says, hey, I think it's all a bunch of bunk. Follow the law and you'll be okay. All lies about the police brutality. Well, I don't know, Lavina, because if you look at what's going on in the world, you can't deny it. You just can't deny it. That doesn't mean it's one or the other. I don't think all police are bad by any stretch. I think most of them are not. But I do think there is a problem, and it's not just a few bad apples, and there is a systemic issue when you have to think about how it's hardwired maybe in the culture and how people perceive each other. Why are black people stopped? Why did Cory Booker, who you have to understand, well before he became a senator, was I think a pretty upper middle class kid, went to Stanford, Rhodes Scholar from Stanford, Yale Law School graduate, and talks about how he was stopped by police several times with guns drawn. I don't have white friends who ever have been stopped once with guns drawn. So you just have to be honest with this. And he says to this day, he feels funny. He's sometimes stopped or feels funny about walking out the door if he's wearing shorts and a T-shirt. And he's a sitting senator. So you can't deny that this is an issue. And for those people who say it's exhausting to talk about it, I hear that a lot from right-wing commentators. Oh, this is so want to be over right now. It's too tiring to talk about. That's why they want it to just be a minor thing and a one-off, a lot of one-offs, not a cultural thing, because then we have to actually talk about it and confront it. If it's exhausting to confront it and talk about it as a white person, and I'm a white person saying this, imagine how hard it is to live with it daily as a black person, because you can turn it off if you want to as a white person and ignore it if you so choose. You have that luxury. Black people don't have that luxury. So just think about that, and let's be honest about it. And let's be understanding. And if we're white people in particular, let's listen more than we talk. Let's just take it in and feel the experience that these people are going through and try to have empathy for your fellow human being. I think that's the important point, rather than canceling a particular person, but just have that open mind and to acknowledge there's a problem rather than wishing it away or denying it, which is what Trump's game is all about. But Trump's game works with could work with enough people again, and that's the problem that I'm worried about when it comes to the election. I'm a broken record on that. I want to push for mail-in voting. I want to push for everybody to get behind Joe Biden because he's our best hope to salvage what we have in this country and then push him further. It doesn't stop at the election. If you're not filled with him and you don't think he's progressive enough, push him further. And you'll be pleasantly surprised, more than you'd be if you were dealing with Trump, that's for sure. My take, we'll see. But thank you so much for joining us. Hey, thank you so much for joining us in real time. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to connect with us via social media. You can follow me on Twitter at AB Writes. Follow our producer, Trudy Hart, at Radio Trudy. You can also friend me on Facebook. And we will get together, indeed. Thank you to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML headquarters, for keeping us moving. And in the meantime, I wish you a chance to drive safe, play nice, dream big, and come back and see us. We'll leave you with Bruce Springsteen, who on his Sirius XM radio show eviscerated President Trump by saying, with 100,000-plus Americans dying over the last few months and the empty, shamed response from our leaders, I am simply pissed off. Those lives deserve better than being simply inconvenient statistics for our president's reelection efforts. It's a national disgrace. Indeed. We take care of our own. Leave you with the boss. Take care. I love you all.
Gun shack to the Superdome.